Hey, greetings everybody. How are you all doing? All of you saints and seekers. Guess what the seekers need to do, Sister Robin?
They need to repent.
Yep.
And we're here to help you if you have any questions
or thoughts on it.
Yeah, seek after the things of God.
Seek after Christ. We hope you're all doing good. We are coming back to you once again. Right away, I want to share Ecclesiastes. Do you like the book of Ecclesiastes,
you know,
Sister Robin?
That's one of my favorite ones.
Ecclesiastes 2:26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather, to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. So yeah, I like the book of Ecclesiastes. I thought I'd start off with the word of God today. We're here to edify you after a long, busy day, but before we talk about it, first off, Sister Amin, are we having some technical issues?
Yeah, right away this morning, had to do some flesh killing on it, because, yeah, we're just having some technical issues with
our Saint sent us an email and said what's the situation, Sister Amin?
The edification audios that we're doing, for some reason, they're all replicating, or most of them are replicating the most recent one. Yeah. And then there's a couple random ones in there.
It's weird.
I went and took some out, changed one of them, kind of like a test, and they changed again. So
we have to get with the web host server.
Yeah, I gotta contact them and see what they can do.
Yep, so we'll try to get that straightened out so we're aware of it. We got a note on there.
It's their world. We just gotta remember we're just using it.
Yep, technical difficulty. So if you like our edification audios, make sure you listen to them every day if you could, because we don't know if they're going to be there for sure.
Right, exactly.
The way the internet works, who knows?
Yeah.
Today, we labored and we posted our street festival preach from yesterday. Remember, if you listened to the audio yesterday, we had a street preach that we did.
Oh, yeah.
And so we posted that link now, and you can see the video and the audio there. That was a tough one. We had to withstand quite a few mockers there, and but the truth went out. We had people thanking us. We had some seekers there, so...
Yeah.
Go look at that. You'll be edified. We're going to put the link up at the edification page. And I don't even know. What else are we going to have at the top for edification page today, Sister?
I don't know. Let it be a surprise.
We'll figure it out for you as
How's
we go.
That?
Yeah.
It's a surprise to me, too. I don't even know.
Yeah, go check out that latest street preach. It'll edify you. And today, we went out in the street early. What did we do, Sister Amin?
Well, we went to stand outside a big Roman Catholic cathedral.
A huge one. I mean, this
thing's like a monstrosity.
This cathedral's like a, I don't know, it's a 200 or 300 foot tall steeple. You know, it's a male phallic symbol. Yeah, you'll hear me preach about that. And just a big ornate building. And we went and stood outside that because we saw it yesterday at our festival preach.
Yep.
And then we walked, we had a twofer today, then we walked around the corner and Sister and Brother and I went down to a little tiny, small evangelical church.
And we saw that one the other day.
We saw that one the other day too. So,
real
quick, we posted the Roman Catholic preach. You can see that one. That one's up. And we're going to post the evangelical preach probably tomorrow to get caught up on it. But we really, it was a good day, great day. Out of the two places we witnessed, I would say there was only one man, a Roman Catholic man, that walked up, and I was able to entreat him to come talk to us, and then he listened to the gospel, and then he really said, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but then even him, when he said, yeah, you don't agree with the Roman Catholics, I said, no, the Word of God doesn't agree with Roman Catholics, and you can listen to the audio. He said this, ready? We hear this often.
Yeah.
Well, I know we disagree on this, and you disagree on that, we disagree. Why don't we just find common ground on a few things, like we all believe in Jesus, and then we could go and seek and save the lost and let people hear about Jesus that have never heard of him. And that sounds like so common sense, right? Like we all should bind together with the Roman Catholics, the Lutheran, the Evangelicals, all these man-made false religions, and then just put ourselves together to go seek and save the lost. But there's two problems with that. One is, what Jesus are we going to teach them? The Roman Catholics teach a false Jesus. The Lutherans teach a false Jesus. Yep. The Evangelicals. We got to teach the biblical Savior to help someone, right, Sister Amin?
Yeah, there's like 40,000 false Jesus or more.
Right. So apparently,
the right one, yeah.
Apparently to them, it doesn't matter what Jesus you preach. So I'm wondering, would they unite with the Mormons who have a total false Jesus that isn't even the Jesus of the Bible by any imagination or stretch?
Well, they got magic and mysticism, so they go right along with they might Roman fit in Catholics, with
it.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that it doesn't match up with, the man said, oh, let's just, you know, agree to just agree on what we can and go out and seek and save the lost. Agree it does. It doesn't agree with Scripture. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Paul says that in other books too. How can we unite to people and just throw the scripture verse and this commandment away to be united in the faith?
I don't know how they do that.
Yeah.
They do it to
they're not reading
them,
scripture.
Yeah, they're not.
They're Roman Catholic, so they're not reading scripture. They're evangelical, so they're not reading scripture. Yep. So he was like the most closest thing you would get to someone that might have been a seeker. He was decent. The priest stood out. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say about him, he did say one thing. He said, I got your card, and I'm open. I think he said he's open-minded.
Yeah.
So that told him could about be a my... bad thing, but it might be a good thing if he's open-minded and maybe some truth gets in
Yeah, he was kind and he was nice, and then he walked in and he said he would look up my testing because I have several articles that expose the Roman Catholic Church. So that was a good thing.
Yeah.
So maybe we came just for him that day. But then their priest came out all dressed up. And what does he call himself on the website, Sister Amen?
Most Reverend.
Most High Exalted Reverend or something like that.
Yeah,
they call him. And he's all in his decked out garb and he had a full length tunic on, which I'm all for the biblical dress, but he had on the clergy garb, which is not what we're supposed to wear today. We're not supposed to lift ourselves up. Sister Amen, what did his deacons and his ushers, how were they dressed?
I don't even want to remember.
They were dressed in skinny pants and little green sports jackets. So it's kind of strange. The godly man, the priest, is the one that's supposed to be biblical for God, but everybody else can dress worldly and or adorn themselves and show off their bodies.
Yeah, it makes the priest look even more holy, don't it?
That's the whole idea. And that's just foolishness. So
yeah.
The priest came out and stood by the door, and I called to him and preached to him. And the one man said, don't be calling out to him. And I said, I'm on a public sidewalk. I'll call out to who I want to. And I told the priest he's got a millstone waiting for his neck. And you can watch the videos. I told him that Mary doesn't hear their prayers, that bread and wine doesn't literally turn into Jesus' body, that the priests and the Pope have no power to forgive sin, trying to tear down their theology so they can rebuild it on the truth and Christ the truth. I thought it was interesting. One man walking in there, he said, oh yeah, Christ started our church with Peter. And I said, Peter said in 1 Peter, he's a fellow elder, not a pope. He goes, what? I had never read that. I said, well, you need to read the scriptures. Peter says in 1 Peter 5, he's a fellow elder.
Yeah, you kind of stumped him on another one, too. I can't remember what it was. There was a couple things you kind of stumped him on, and his face changed like, oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll go see.
Yeah, so that was good. You can see all the video and the audio. And the Roman Catholics are just so dead. They don't care about truth. They care about just their false tradition. They're blind because they don't have the Spirit of God. And they are the Pharisees of today that Jesus talked about, where they do things and all their man-made traditions and many such things you do, you worship God in vain. And they're worshiping God in vain. They're worshiping a false gospel and a false Savior.
Right. Yeah, I got to witness to a woman there, too. She wasn't very receptive at all.
Right.
But I did get to share some truth with her. I forgot to turn the audio on till right at the end, but I did a little bit. But anyway, I gave her some truth, so
and the Lord knows it. It's kind of ominous. You can hear me preaching over their pagan bells.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of ominous thing. Yeah. And so that one we finished up, and no police showed up because I think...
They know us already.
Yeah, I think in this town when we show up, the police know me. And when we show up and they call the police go, does he have a tunic on? Is his wife head covered? And they probably go, yeah. The police probably go, we know that preacher. He's legal. He's peaceful. Unless he breaks the law, we're not coming out. We can't do anything anyway. So the cops stop coming out because we're peaceful, law abiding, which I think that's a good witness, isn't it, Sister Amen?
It is.
We're nothing to be afraid of. We're not there threatening people.
Unless you're a criminal against the word of God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, unless you're a heretic. And so then we walked down the street, and right around the corner, we went to this little evangelical body.
But we saw something in between.
What did we see? Oh, yeah. What did you see? This is awesome.
Oh, so sweet. I got a little video of it. Maybe I'll surprise us with that video.
Yeah.
A mourning dove sitting on a nest underneath an overhang of a business. Just sitting there minding her business.
And we were like 3 feet from her and she just didn't care.
Yeah, it was so sweet. Just so peaceful.
Sitting on her nest.
In the midst of all of a busy world. Yeah. She's just sitting there
doing what God created her to do.
Doesn't nature even teach you?
Yeah.
We can have that peace with Christ.
Yeah.
Sisters, you know, when you're in the middle of all the trials and struggles or just busyness in life that can kind of sweep you away or take your time. We can have that peace in Christ, that calmness,
Amen.
And be settled in Christ in the middle of it all.
Yeah, because normally they're very skittish birds and they don't like to be around people, but to stay on her nest, she's just sitting there not moving.
Yeah,
she was like
stone still. Yeah,
you got a video, right?
Lesson. Yeah.
Yeah, so you'll put that up. So that was on the way. I looked up and I said, hey, Sister Amon, come here and get this. So that was on the way to the evangelical preach. And so we went down there, and you'll see on the audio and video when we put it up tomorrow, none of their leaders came out with Bibles. I kept calling for them to come out with Bibles. None of them did. Several men came out that weren't even really members of that church. They were visiting, and they ended up lying about us. One man said, I can't believe you don't watch TV and play sports and watch movies. And I said, sir, we don't do any of that. He said, you're lying. I don't believe you. And the other man came out, and I gave him doctrine after doctrine after doctrine, scripture after scripture.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, I don't think you're the real body of Christ. I'm not convinced. And he walked away. While he defended sin and worldliness and carnality.
That would be the man that says he teaches, but he doesn't want us at his church.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I asked him, what's the name of his church? And he said, a Bible church. I said, which one? He said, you don't need to know. I said, how come if it's biblical, we want to come test it, we want to join, we'll be their best workers? He said, I don't want you to visit there.
Right.
What does that tell you, saints? That he knows it's going to be tested to the word of God, mm-hmm. and so he hides in the dark. Jesus said no one puts their light, their candle, under a bushel, a basket.
Nope.
You let your light shine if you're biblical. We pour out truth on the internet. We go out and hold gospel signs. We lift up our voices and preach. Why? We believe we're preaching the truth. We believe people need it. We want them to come and test and see it. The day we start hiding it under a bushel, somebody better come and be rebuking us.
Thank you. I was just going to say, I better expect to hear from my sisters.
Yeah. So that's kind of what we had from the evangelical church. I got to talk to a young woman going in and warned her about her false faith. And Sister Amon talked to a couple of women, but they didn't really want to talk much. Sister Amon, the lady opening and closing the door.
Yeah.
How was she dressed?
We were talking about how she looks like she probably just walked out of Planet Fitness, which is a fitness gym with sprayed on spandex stuff and lots of skin showing. I mean, it was like over the top
for a church. Yeah, she had on like all spandex and a little cut-off mid-drift top.
Midi top.
And I got this young brother standing there, and I'm going, wow, brother, this is really wicked, isn't it? He's like, yeah, it is. It's like, this is at their church body where they're supposed to be holy, and we saw other harlotry coming out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it just shows you, this church had lady elders, three lady elders, which is unbiblical. This church has a false gospel that doesn't call you out of the world. Their pastor loves college football that's worldly and carnal. They keep the pagan holidays, massive feminization, and one of the things that they were really good at was we saw all kinds of people coming out with coffee, cookies, and donuts. In fact, I called one man out. I said, no Bible? They're carrying coffee, cookies, and donuts, but no Bibles. And nobody wanted to come and talk truth. So this is your typical fellowship place of socialization, just a feel-good place, come have coffee. A homeless guy showed up. He was there just for the coffee and the donuts.
Yeah, he told us. And you witnessed to him. He was like really decent.
We witnessed
about
to him and gave him the gospel. And so, yeah, it's a typical evangelical place, and we called them out. They were upstairs in their lounge area looking out at the windows at us, but not one man came out to talk truth from their leadership. Their pastor hid like a coward.
They were all hiding behind the glass.
All hiding behind the women and the glass.
Yep.
And so it was pretty wicked. And those two men lying about us, one of the men tried to get at my young brother because he was picking at him on different things, saying, oh, come on, you don't believe this, you don't believe that. And I basically stood between him and I said, I don't let wolves to get to the sheep.
Right.
And I basically shut him down and preached right over him, and he eventually left. And that's what we have to do out there. We can't let false teachers go on and fill us full of swill, fill us full of their manure of doctrine. We tell them, nope, stand down, we don't listen to you. We go there for seekers, We go there to proclaim truth for people that will just listen. We don't entertain mockers or people that are going to defend false doctrine. He kept saying, you can't come out of the world. You can't live and avoid sin in the world. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us not to conform to the world. The Bible right. teaches us to leave all sin. Yep. We're not perfect. We can still choose sin, but we don't practice and live in sin. These places teach you to live in sin.
Right. Like that young woman, she was defending football by saying, there's a lot of violence in the yeah. Old Testament. That was really pathetic.
Yeah. I said, your pastor watches violent football. She goes, well, there's a lot of violence in the Old Testament. I said, that was violence ordained by sinful man or by God, who owns everything anyway. We don't put entertainment in front of our eyes and put violence for entertainment in front of our eyes. And she's like, she just kind of looked at me, and
she was one of the harlots.
Yeah. And eventually when I told her that she's not supposed to teach and correct men, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Timothy 2, she gave a big sigh breath. She went, oh, and she walked in, because they can't argue with God's word. They can just ignore it, try to twist it.
Yep.
But it was a good preach, because a lot of people heard truth. What happened with brother with a car driving by?
Yeah, this was awesome. So we're standing out there, getting the people getting upset, coming out, sighing, you know, saying things, arguing, pushing back against or whatever. And this car drives up, and this young man in the passenger seat, he's like, amen, amen. And young brother got to go over there and give him a gospel card.
Yeah, so I said, amen, you got to follow Christ and obey him. And this young guy goes, yeah, man, you got to obey. And I said, brother, get him a gospel card. So he ran over, gave him a gospel card. And so maybe we came for him. Who knows?
Yeah, I know.
He seemed to be encouraged. We had other people driving by thumbing up, because there's a lot of people that know the churches are full of hypocrisy, yep. money, lies, false traditions, but nobody's standing against them. And we show up to stand against them, and we get both the people that say, leave them alone. We get free coffee and donuts there. Or we get people to go, amen, the churches are full of hypocrisy and corruption.
Right. You know, I've noticed more and more lately over the past year or two, we've been running into a lot more people who are seeing through the church system.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe the COVID helped people at least see that far.
Yeah.
I really hope they go further, because pretty much everybody we've run into that says that they're kind of stuck right where they are.
Yeah, they are. They leave, they deconstruct out of the churches, but they don't keep going on and up in Christ.
Right. But we've been around to help many of them. Move on.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I should mention, at one of these churches, the lady was holding the door for the usher. And as I was preaching to the usher, as he was walking in, the lady turned around, put up the nasty finger, and she said, F you.
Yep.
And the usher laughed and they walked in. These are people going inside to worship Jesus.
Their Jesus, not the real
yeah,
one.
Yeah, excuse me. Worship their Jesus. This is, it's almost surreal to have it happen to you. My young brother's looking at me like, I mean, he's like, just, this is new to him. And he's like, this is amazing. I can't believe how wicked these people are.
I grew up with people doing that stuff in the churches. Yeah. I guess,
So, Sister Amin, any other thoughts about our two preaches today? Anything else you want to share?
Yeah, the first one we were at, they had porta potties there, and the man was picking them up, and he was like vacuuming them out.
And sucking them out, cleaning all them out.
And oh boy, it stunk so bad. And I said, yeah, this goes perfect. That's a stench in the nostrils. That's a stench, just like the Roman Catholics worship is a stench in the nostrils.
Yeah, their doctrine and their theology is dung unto our God.
Yeah, so it was a good match right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That was just something I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
About the preaches, what I was going to say is just kind of briefly, you know, how it goes for us. Sometimes you go from one to the next, to the next, to the next, and it can be like a different frame of mind. It could be from a religious concept to an art concept,
to a worldly
to
thing,
to a craft or worldly thing. And they're different kinds of people,
different atmospheres,
I was going to say. So you kind of got to be able to flip pretty quick.
Flexibility.
You know? Yeah, and get your mind, and it comes in time and experience to be able to just slide from one to the next and go right in and keep going. And
it's like witnessing experiences. You never know if you're going to get a mocker, a seeker, a false teacher, a worldly person, an atheist, a Muslim. You got to be ready to adjust to anything.
Right. You could just get done, you know, dealing with a mocker, which you could have a little bit of righteous anger, and you got to rebuke them, which means you're stern. And then you turn around and there's somebody who's really quiet and nice. And you don't want to be like too zealous and passionate to that person, because they might think, you know, you're coming off aggressive or something because you just got done, or vice versa.
Amen.
So I don't know. I was just saying, praise God for his power, because I love that scripture verse. I didn't get a chance to look it up. He'll guide you with his eye, and he'll be in our mouth. He'll tell us, he'll give us the words to say.
Amen.
And he leads us in it all. And that's just not walking in the flesh. It's walking in the spirit. And that just comes with overtime. And I'm just encouraging sisters, because a lot of sisters don't get to get out and do that very often, or even one-on-one witnessing and stuff. So I just share this stuff to encourage you. Just keep whatever the Lord has in front of you, each one that you come across, evaluate it, learn it, and then you learn from it for the next time. Because that's how you grow.
Practice living your life in the spirit, not in the flesh.
Yeah, right.
That's the key.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So we've been having a lot of that practice lately.
Yep,
to fine-tune our own, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I wanted to throw one other thing here. For those of you who might have heard the audio yesterday, how we knew about this man in a scooter chair.
In the what?
In the scooter chair.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever you call it.
Yeah.
We waved at him one day, and yesterday I got to witness to him, just give him a gospel card and share just a little bit with him. Today, on our way to the preach, we're driving by the same place. He's sitting underneath the sign in the shade. So Brother Tupo's honking. I'm leaning out, waving at him.
He's waving.
He was smiling and laughing and waving. And as we drove by, I was thinking about, you know, being a good witness in the world.
Loving your neighbor.
Yeah, exactly. And here, I wanted to read this, Philippians 2:15, that ye be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
Amen.
Yeah, so he could tell, as long as we're in the area, he could come up and talk to us about the things of God. We're approachable. We loved him. I checked to see if he had any needs or anything.
Yeah, and today we went to the park after our preach was done, and we had lunch all together, and we were talking and working online. And that man in the park that drives through in his pickup truck that warned us about the hailstorm that was coming, he saw us there, and he beeped, went by, and was waving at us, saw all our gospel signs and was waving at us. So people are getting to know us in the area, the ones that don't hate us for the gospel, and they loosely stay connected. And like Sister Amin said, we can be lights to them.
Right, and they're kind of like the society would look at as the lower ones.
Definitely. Lower income, almost. Some of them are almost car dwellers, homeless type of people. Seems to be the people that we have more rapport with.
That's because we're like,
I think that's
them.
What our master would have had more rapport with the homeless guy than the guy in the $1 million motorhome.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Or the stuffy people going into those great big monstrosities of a church and stuff that have no love.
How about the guy today at the evangelical church, the guy that said he was a teacher, wouldn't tell us who his church body was. Do you remember him looking me up and down at my tunic? He looked at me up and down like I was dressed in a clown suit. And then he said, so what are we supposed to do? Wear like that? And I walked him through the theology that he didn't know. And then he couldn't answer. I said, well, if God dressed us this way, why is man choosing his own way to dress? He didn't have an answer for that.
Right. And can I just say something about thinking quick on your feet? That man wouldn't say who his religious body was. And then he tried to change the subject a little bit later and said, where are you from?
Yeah.
Brother Tupo said, well, we've been from Wisconsin. He said, where? And Brother Tupo said, you tell me where your religious body is, and I'll tell you where we're from.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? It kind of shows a man a quick wit on the feet, even in earthly matters.
Yeah.
You're all spiritual. You're on total doctrine on that. He couldn't answer for it all. And even in earthly wisdom, you could stump him on that.
Right.
So the Lord gives all kinds of wisdom in everywhere.
Yeah, amen.
Hopefully
he does.
He respects that you had an answer.
He
right
smiled.
Answer.
He just laughed. Yep. And when he walked away, I grilled him and I said, you won't even share your body so we can come see it and be edified and test it.
Yep.
What a coward you are. And right in front of his wife and other people. So he needed a call out for that because he said he was a Bible teacher. So we see a lot of that. These men, he had a Bible in his hand, and he wouldn't even open it.
No, huh?
He was the only guy that had a Bible in his hand of all of them, but he was just visiting there. So, yeah, that was interesting. And, yeah, God gives you what you need to say when you've been practiced and you've been doing it enough and you just trust in the Lord to walk in his ways. And you have the boldness to go out and do it. We'll talk about boldness in a little bit. But
oh, yeah, good.
Did you have anything else to share about the two preaches, Sister Amin? I wanted to read this verse because today the preachers remind me of this. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. This also know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men will be lovers of their own selves. We saw that today.
Yep.
Covetous. We saw that today. Boasters. Proud. We saw that today. Yep. Blasphemers. Yeah, they destroy God's word. Disobedient to parents. Well, that one just, obviously, they don't even have godly parents, so that one almost doesn't even apply. unthankful,
yep.
unholy,
yep.
without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers,
oh, yeah.
they accused us falsely today, incontinent, fierce, despisers of them that do good.
Oh, yeah.
What did that man say to us today? You're just trying to lift yourself up. And I'm sitting there going, lift ourselves up. We're the ones that are trying to dress biblical and just have coverings on, not be full of pride and vanity. We don't have ministries named after ourselves. We're not putting our faces all over the internet and praying and telling people how much money we give like they do.
Yep.
And we're there lifting up Christ, and he tells us we're there lifting ourselves up.
Words of Satan.
Yeah. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Oh, I don't have a problem with college football, he said.
How many times did we hear the defense of sports today?
Yep. The defending sports, defending worldliness.
All kinds of things, yeah.
And this one. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That guy said, you can't possibly live in the world and not sin all the time. They deny the power of God to keep you from sinning. From such, turn away.
Oh yeah, we've
And so I taught brother today, turn away from those mockers. We're there for the seekers. We're there for God's glory. From the mockers, the false teachers, we rebuke them. Then we turn away from them. And we just do not give them our space and our time. It's why you'll hear a lot. You don't let me talk. You're right. I don't let mockers, false teachers, and people defending false doctrine talk. Why would I? I'm not going to. Why am I going to give that time on my website, on my audios, on my videos? If they're a seeker, I think you all hear me listen and talk to seekers one-on-one. We can go back and forth. I answer their question. They get kindness, gentleness, and patience. But when you start defending sin, false doctrine, or you're a false teacher, or you're worldly and carnal and a mocker, you get a rebuke and I shut you down.
Oh, right. Same here. I've had to do that with women. Yeah. You know, you can have a good conversation for a while, then all of a sudden their true colors come out.
Yep.
And I have turned away from them. I'll go all the way up to a certain point. Then it's like, nope, I can see you're standing and holding fast to your sin and
yep.
the next sin and the next sin. It's Amen. Not just one.
Yep.
It's a handful of them. And then it's like, there's no reasoning for it. You're wasting your time. You're losing a chance to preach to
right.
other people. So we turn our back on them and walk away.
Yeah, I was telling brother, you give false teachers and all these people mockers time. They'll end up telling you stuff for 45 minutes and you won't get the gospel out. You won't get to witness to other people. Don't let them do it. Paul says their mouths must be silenced. How do I silence their mouths? I can't physically silence their mouths. I just preach on and I ignore them and I just don't give them ground to go and have a standing. So
right.
that's what we do. So tomorrow we'll have that evangelical preach posted, Lord willing. And today, brother and sister and I were sitting around and we kind of did a quick mini study in the park when we had lunch. And we basically were talking about boldness and how lacking it is in men. I'm speaking about men here. Boldness. Women can be bold. Sister Amon's bold, but I'm going to speak to men here primarily. That men are feminized in this culture and that boldness is looked as something that is looked down upon. And that you're arrogant or you're prideful if you're bold. Acts 4:29. And now the Lord behold their threatenings and grant unto these servants that with all boldness they may speak the word of God. Let me give you the definition of boldness in the Greek. Ready? Spokenness, that is frankness, bluntness, by implication, assurance of words, confidence, freedom in speaking, unreservedness in speech, open, frank, without concealment, without ambiguity, without the use of figures or comparisons, free, fearless, confident, cheerful, courage, boldness, assurance. That's what we're supposed to preach with the Word of God. That's what we're supposed to live and teach. So I was talking to brother about boldness and how it doesn't mean you're not meek and humble. Meek and humble have nothing to do with being a mouse and sitting there and talking soft and not saying anything. Meek and humble is you're under God's authority and God's word. Bold means you're standing on the truth of God, the gospel, Christ's doctrines, who Christ is, and you're preaching it because people need to hear it to the saving of their souls.
Right. Amen.
And one more verse, 1 Timothy 3:13 on boldness. For they have used the office of a deacon. For that they have used the office of a deacon, well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Jesus Christ. So leaders are to be bold. So it's a good thing that all of us have that quality, whether they're deacon, elder, pastor.
Right.
But to be bold in the word of God. Jesus was bold. John the Baptist was bold. The prophets were bold. Noah was bold. Moses was bold. The disciples were bold. Men, we need to be bold. And ladies, too, in your own way.
Oh, yeah.
Bold means just standing up for the truth of God, giving your testimony.
Yeah, one of the words, I don't know if you read them, because I know you had a really good list of them. Careless.
Yeah, careless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That for me, I don't know, that one really stuck out to me. It's not careless like, oh, I don't really care, I'm going to do something foolish. It's careless.
Right.
So when you're standing out, like when I'm standing out, just use me for an example. I know Brother Tupo's too. But when I'm standing out there, it doesn't matter what controversy's going on, all the heat that's going on, maybe people yelling at you, whatever right. it is that's going on, I have no care about any of this earthly stuff.
The police are
I have
coming.
Like zero care.
We don't
about
care.
It. Yeah, it's like all in the spirit.
There's a guy yelling in your face. We don't care.
Yeah.
They might hate us. We don't care.
Yeah, I have no care about any of that. It doesn't even affect my flesh.
Because our care is focused on the Lord, the gospel, the truth, and we know that's what people need, and we know that's what glorifies God, so we don't care about nothing else.
Right.
Kind of like if your child was in shark-infested water, you'd probably jump in and not care about sharks and go get your child.
Right. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if somebody comes up and they put their fingers on your shoulder and kind of push you back,
yeah,
your first inclination is to want to push them back.
Right.
And that's kind of how it is when Satan sends his workers to push back against the word of God. What does it do? The word rises up in you and more comes out. That's how it is.
Amen.
That would help with boldness.
We were talking about boldness, and every man needs it if he's going to do street preaching, but I believe every saint needs a certain level of boldness to give their testimony, to witness, to give out gospel cards, to stand and ask, hey, why do you wear a head covering? Why do you wear a dress? Why are you not doing Christmas and Easter? It takes a boldness to give an answer, and Peter says, 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give an answer. That takes boldness.
Yeah, it does. Kind of like the man that was getting in my face the other day, and I said, don't be a coward, go talk to my husband over there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a boldness to call him out, and it kind of diffused the situation, and he went over in that direction. So.
Yeah. So anything else on your mind, Sister Amin, that you want to share today? Any scriptures or thoughts?
Yeah, you know, there's been so much going on. All I can do is just say, I'm so thankful to be a worker of the Lord, and we always say it, we're nothing without him, but I'm just thankful to be able to do it. And I hope there was ears to hear.
Amen.
And there was conviction. And if there wasn't any, then the Lord was glorified anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And we did the best we could to stand. And after we've done all we could, we stood.
Yep, like Paul said. And I told Brother today, one thing you got to learn as we do these preaches, we do our best. We put the truth out there. We're there in person for them. They have our email. They can get our phone number. They have our website. When we're done, brother, if they don't reach out to us, wash your hands. We're done. We've done our work here. We go on to the next one. And we don't worry and think back what we should have done. Our hands are clean. Like Paul saying with the Jews, I did not stop preaching the whole counsel of God's word to you. I wash my hands here. I got to go.
And so
that's what we do. We pour ourselves out in one place, in one spot, proclaim the gospel, hold signs, tell them the truth, and then we got to go. If somebody wants us to stay and teach them, we will. If not, we got to go. We got somewhere else to go.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So, work while it's day. Night is coming.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I do have a scripture to read, but I wanted to bring up one quick thing.
Yeah.
Today, who did we see riding on the bike that had absolutely no words to say to us at the stoplight?
Yep, the guy from the, you'll see it on the post today, the guy with purple hair that was yelling at me, telling me to leave, just leave, you're mean, get out of here, leave.
Beware, there's a lot of vulgarity.
Yeah, using the F word at me, telling me I'm mean as he's using the F word, telling me to leave. Saw him on the bike today. We're at an intersection. He pulled right up next to me, and I sat and I looked right at him. He looked at me. He knew who we were, saw our gospel signs. He had nothing to say.
Yeah, he saw us looking at him, and his mouth was a little ways open, and he took his glasses off and just stared at us.
I was
looking out the window at him like,
the light changed, and I just left because he was a mocker. He didn't want the truth of God. And so, they get emboldened when they're around other people. When they get alone in the street, a lot of times they have nothing to say.
Right, we found that oftentimes.
Yep.
We have plenty to say anytime.
Wolves in packs attack. A lot of times a lone wolf don't want to pack. Won't attack.
Yeah, we've noticed that. I was just going to read James 5, 10, and 11. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender of mercy.
Yeah, I like that. Tender of mercies.
Yeah, and
His mercies are new every morning, every day.
Yeah, I'm thankful for that too.
That's our great hope. I wanted to share that over the past few preaches, the thing that's come to my mind a lot is people's tongues and how these religious false people think they're really of God and they can't control their tongues. We've had so many people that go to church that have told us to
blank off,
all kinds of vulgarity, putting their fingers up in the air at us, and mostly their tongue, calling us names that aren't biblical. I know I call people names. I'll tell a false teacher he's a heretic. We'll tell people, hey, you're a blasphemer, idolater. But they're using terms that aren't even biblical, like you stupid idiot or you're a moron. And they just say all these things. And it makes me think of what James said about your tongue, James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. I tell them they worship in vain. They prove it with their mouth that they can't control.
Yep.
The lady yesterday at the Catholic thing, we walked up and I said, hey, I want to give you the gospel. She goes, oh, you just go. And she was ready to rip an expletive. And I said, here's a gospel card. And she ripped that out of my hand. Good thing I didn't get a paper cut. And I said, wow, you're so loving and kind. She's like, she's like one of those ladies that would hit you with an umbrella if she had it.
Oh, yeah.
She was so angry. They can't control their tongue and their flesh. James says they worship God in vain.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to share was I meant to share this the other day. We're sitting in a marketplace working with Brother Online after rain was coming through. And I saw a billboard. I talked about this the other day. It said, use this software, AI, to build your resume. Now you got people don't even write their own resume anymore. The computer brain is writing their resume. This artificial intelligence, AI, it's going crazy. And this is no doubt going to be part, I wanted to bring this up, of the end times with the Antichrist system using this somehow. Computers, humans merging together. They're already talking about, they take a computer chip and they put it in your brain. And basically anyone can ask you any question. And you basically think about the answer, and AI finds you the answer and tells you the answer, and then you can speak it. You, like, become a computer. They can ask you advanced math equations, and you just give out the answer because AI is telling you the answer. So it's like computers merging with humans. And it made me think about this, Revelation 13:15, talking about the Antichrist. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast that they should be killed. I can't be dogmatic about what all that means, but there's something in there that says he's going to give it image to speak, the power of that image to speak. And I believe that's going to have something to do with computers, artificial intelligence, transhumanoids. They're mingling man with machines. And I think that's something to watch and keep an eye on. Just like cryptocurrency, when we go cashless in the world, you can say that redemption is draweth nigh. It is getting close because they totally control you now. They can shut you off with a flip of a switch. And that is also coming. So ponder that. AI, you'll see it all around. Pastors are getting sermons done by AI. Now, you don't even have to do your own sermon now. You go to AI and you type in, give me a sermon on boldness, and the computer brain writes you a sermon. What do you think of that, Sister Anna?
Well, I would say that is not of the Holy Spirit, so it's of the spirit of Satan.
Yeah.
Which kind of stands to reason, since those are synagogues of Satan. But amen. It's pretty bad. It's going to be used to try to be the downfall of his saints. I was going to say something about when you're talking about merging humans and AI, and in Revelation about the image of the beast, we've seen projections of 3D
holograms.
Yeah. And they use them on some, I don't even want to go into all the details, but maybe sometime we could. But they use it at some of these music concerts.
Yep.
One is kind of like a knockoff of Adam and Eve, and it's called, anyway, I don't even want to say what it is.
Yeah.
It's like blasphemous against the Bible. And it has weird images of robots and people. And the way they project those holograms, it like comes out over the audience and it looks like a real thing. And people are entranced on that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just the little bits of this, a little bit of that, and people are just buying into it. So it won't be long and they'll be having, what, holograms all over. You could shoot it in the sky and make it look like a big hologram.
Yeah, the technology is even getting to where they can, like, teleport people electronically and they appear somewhere else. I mean, it's just, they're going to all kinds of things like they did at the Tower of Babel, where God said they could do anything they can imagine now. And I know God's going to come back and Christ's going to return and stop this eventually. But we are definitely perilously headed towards these last days, and I see the technology growing. I don't know if I'm going to live to see it all, if I got 10, 15, 20 years left, but it's coming pretty quick. I wouldn't be surprised if we live to see it, if we get to live much more than a couple decades. I can't imagine it holding off too much longer.
I know, we've seen so much change in our life, it's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And also in that same vein, have you thought about this, Saints? The Antichrist. He's going to be Satan in the flesh. Just like Jesus was the image of the Father in the flesh. So Jesus was God in the flesh, right? We all believe that. The Antichrist is going to be Satan in the flesh. Notice how Satan always likes to mock and copy and do the imagery of what the Father has done. And so that's just another thing to think about.
That's creepy.
Yeah, he's going to be an incarnation of Satan. Just like Jesus.
All right, I'll say it. Everybody can hear me say it. I guess I never really even took the time to ponder that deeply. That is something.
And he could be alive on earth today.
Yeah.
He could be alive on earth today.
Thinking in the flesh. I mean, you know some of the stuff, but all of a sudden it's like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, and John tells us the spirit of Antichrist is already out in the world. We see it growing.
Oh, yeah.
We see it where they're going to limit biblical truth, and they're going to grow this whole one world system and one world theology, and everyone coming together and everyone just agreeing. And if you disagree, you're mean spirited and hateful, and everybody's got to go along to get along. This is the one world order, one world religion that's coming. And the only ones that are not going to fit in are biblical believers born of Christ. We're the hated ones.
Praise
that
God.
Jesus warned about.
Yeah.
So I was telling brother, be ready to lose this life now. This life now. Be ready to lose people not liking you, your parents, your friends, your family, your career, your aspirations, your pride, your vanity. Be ready to lose all that now, because when the time comes and they say, hey, we're going to kill you for your faith, you can say, you know what? I got nothing left. I don't care. I'm ready to go.
I'm cut free from everything.
But if you're holding on to a bunch of things, well, I'm a president of a big company and I got a boat and a mansion and a this and I got that and I got a reputation. Well, you got everything to live for.
Yep.
So that's why the Bible tells us to strip our lives down. I told this young man, you're losing your life for Christ. And he said, yeah, I see it. I like it. My flesh fights sometimes, but I like it. I see it because it's preparing me for eternity that's coming. So,
right. Amen.
So think about those things. I need to do some more teachings and talking about what's coming in the end times, because it's right before us. So that's about all I have today, Sister Amin. Any last thoughts you want to share?
Well, on what you just shared there, you know, when we talk about things like that, you sisters listening, maybe in your flesh kind of get a little bit of the stomach thing going on, going, wow, this could be...
Yeah, in the flesh, it's scary.
But yeah, treacherous. But you know what? We need to put that down. We need to look through it and past it to what? Yeah. Christ coming back or us going to him, because then it's done. We don't have to worry about it. But from now until then, we got work to do to press right through it.
Yeah.
And we got to trust he will give us what we need.
Revelation 12:11. Overcome by the blood of the Lamb, keep preaching the gospel to yourself.
Yep.
Right? And the word of your testimony, keep proclaiming what God's done in your life and preaching the gospel in it. And love not your life unto death. That means do not hold on to this world. Do not hold on to anything. Be ready to die for the cause of Christ. And if you are ready to physically die for the cause of Christ, the Antichrist isn't scary. He's not scary. But if you want to hold on to everything, think about that. If you want to hold on to everything in this life, my freedom, my money, my reputation, my career, all this, I want to hold on to. I want to live as long as I can. Oh, it's really scary that evil's coming to take that all away. But if you go, you know what? I don't even care about that stuff. Let it all go. It's already gone.
Right. And you just said a key word that, you know, you could let go of a whole lot of your possessions, maybe the people, maybe in your life. But there's one that could be harder to let go of.
Oh, yeah.
Freedom.
Yeah.
Your freedom, because you're not sitting in jail. You're not tied up in a torture chamber.
Oh, yeah.
We have freedom right now, and that could be a hard one that could be to let go, and you have to readjust your mindset if you end up getting thrown in jail or solitary.
And I'm working through Philippians, and I have to remind everybody, Paul's writing this letter of joy and thankfulness and excitement while he's in prison.
Oh, I know. That's awesome.
So we have to remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. Praise God.
So I got one last verse to share with you as we leave you for this audio edification. 1 John 4:1-8. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. He's talking about Antichrist, because many false prophets have gone into the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I love that. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world. Therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Yeah. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Mm. Sister Amen, did we see much love today from these so-called Christian places?
I can say a flat out no.
No. One man showed a little love. Another older man at the Roman Catholic Church tried to shake my hand and say, no matter, I love you, brother. And I said, sir, I love you too. But I said, I can't shake your hand. You're united to false teachers. It's a false fleshly love. They just want to get that little bit of unity and say, oh, well, I'm still with you because of Jesus. But they're not with us at all. They're not with Christ. So think about that. Those people, they can't hear the truth of God. They're of the world, and they love not. And Jesus said in John 13, by this the world will know that you're my disciples, your love for each other.
Right. Amen. We see the love from the world, but not not the church people.
Amen. So let that be a marker. So go out and have a joyous morning, afternoon, evening, no matter where you are, north, south, east, west, all over.
Right.
And we're thinking of you. We're praying for you. We love you. And until next time we get to come to you, hopefully we'll get our audio edification videos all figured out.
Yeah.
We'll come back tomorrow if the Lord lets us, and we'll bring more edification. Right. Tomorrow, we have van work on our brother's van, some finish up details, and then we have to get ready. We're headed out to get ready to head to a preach that we're excited about.
I'm containing myself now.
Sister Amon's all excited about this next preach we're going to get to do. And then young brother's going to stay here because he's starting his job and he's going to be working for a season. And then we'll be coming back and preaching with him and leaving. And so it's a good chance for him
Times
to grow
seasons.
Into his new place here. Uh-huh. And but we'll be studying online and stuff together. So that's what we'll be doing tomorrow. So until then, hold fast. We love you all.
May God be praised.
Amen, Sister Amon.